Honors. May it please the court, Stephen Shea on behalf of the appellant David Lindemood. Your Honors, the issue this morning in this disability case is whether the testimony of the vocational expert is supported by substantial evidence. And the appellant submits that the clear answer to that question is that it is not. And this case is somewhat unusual in that at the time of the hearing, the appellant waived his right to appear. The attorney appeared by telephone, and there was a medical advisor, a vocational expert, an administrative law judge at the hearing. So no one on behalf of the appellant was actually there in person. And during the hearing, the context within which the testimony was taken became important, and that's really what the center of the issue is here today, I think, because when the administrative law judge called the medical expert, after getting some testimony about what was really going on in the case, he specifically asked him to give him a list of impairments and restrictions on a functional capacity evaluation form. Now, as far as I can tell, that form does not appear in the record, but they walked through what all those restrictions were, which the medical expert felt were appropriate. And as he went through, he identified approximately 12 or 14 restrictions. And if I could I just want to go through those really quickly. Occasionally lifting up to 20 pounds, frequently up to 10 pounds, standing and walking 6 out of 8 hours, with standing up to an hour at a time, sitting for 5 to 10 minutes, and then being able to stand for another hour at a time, sitting 6 out of 8 hours, some sit-stand options, pushing and pulling on the same exertional limitations that he had already assessed, so at 20 pounds and 10 pounds, no ladders, ropes, and scaffolds, occasional stair climbing, frequent balancing, never kneeling, occasional crouching, never crawling, occasional stooping, limited temperature extremes, limited vibration, occasional exposure to wetness and humidity, and no exposure to hazardous machinery, I'm sorry. That was the factual predicate of the hypothetical question to the vocational expert, and that is the information that the vocational expert used when he answered the hypothetical question. When the administrative law judge wrote his decision, however, with the exception of the sitting restriction and the lifting of the 20 and the 10 pounds, all of these restrictions were eliminated so that the factual underpinning of the vocational expert's testimony was gone. Now, I understand that one of the arguments against this is, well, heck, this is a lot more restrictive than what the administrative law judge came up with. However, what it all boils down to in terms of importance is the sitting and standing, because the hypothetical question was premised on an ability to perform light work with the ability to stand and walk for 6 out of 8 hours, and actually, given the limitations, the person could stand and walk more than 6 out of 8 hours. And the residual functional capacity that the administrative law judge ultimately arrived at was that standing and walking was limited to 2 hours in an 8-hour day, so that the residual functional capacity assessment was never reflected in any portion of the hypothetical question. The difference is crucial because the commissioner's regulations indicate that the primary difference between sedentary and light work is the ability to stand and walk, because the reason for that is there are very few occupations where you can sit and have to lift 20 pounds. So that in limiting the residual functional capacity assessment to standing and walking 2 out of 8 hours, we've now reached a point where we're talking about sedentary rather than light work. And there's really no evidence that there's any sedentary occupations that this claimant can perform. There was no testimony. The findings of the judge were that they were light jobs. The vocational expert testified they were light jobs. And perhaps most importantly, and really to highlight the mistake, the opinion actually says that the vocational expert was asked to consider a person who was only able to stand and walk 2 hours in an 8-hour day. It just didn't happen, and it was unfortunately, and that may have been the intent, that's not what happened, and the record is pretty clear that really what was said, standing and walking 6 out of 8 hours with the ability to stand for an hour, and then to sit for 5 to 10 minutes, and then to stand for another hour. So where all this leaves us is, this is not just the type of an error that is nitpicking. This is a critical error in the residual functional, well, in either the residual functional capacity assessment or in the hypothetical question. It's really not possible to tell which. And as a result of which, the vocational expert's testimony is not supported by substantial evidence.
Any questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hayes?
May it please the court, in this case, the appellant, Mr. Lindemood, had a total knee replacement operation in 1999. This is a common procedure. As the medical expert testified at the hearing, he had an above average rehabilitation and he had a very good outcome. This was not a failed replacement operation. And this is reflected in his activities of daily living, where his wife reported that he drives 3 or 4 days a week, takes a half-mile walk a couple of times a week, mows the lawn, uses a stationary bike, attends garage sales, does light cooking and bakes bread, takes care of his personal needs, does the laundry, dusts, vacuum, takes out the trash, etc., uses the computer. The first issue in the case is whether the hypothetical question was adequate. And I think it's very important when we look at this to look at the question. The question that we're dealing with appears in the joint appendix at 325. And the question, first of all, says that if the appellant had the limitations that Dr. Fernandez described, and he characterizes them as essentially light work with some other restrictions and an alternate sit-stand requirement. And then he goes on with some more restrictions, and he asks the vocational expert if there is work that this person can perform. And I'm not sure that we emphasized in our briefs as much as we should have the fact that he has an alternate sit-stand requirement, which is often referred to as the sit-stand option. But that option means that the person has the option to stand when they need to stand, to sit when they need to sit. And the fact that...
How do we know that?
There's no citation.
I just want to know how we know it.
Your Honor.
That the phrase alternate sit-stand requirement means you get up when you have to, sit down when you have to.
I don't have authority right here. We can get that to Your Honor and submit it. You also need to look at the testimony by the vocational expert, because all of the work that he identifies, the vocational expert, he describes them as basically bench jobs. He could have the option of sitting and standing and walking around if he needed. So to the extent that there is any, to the extent that the question was not perfect, as the district court judge said, any error would be harmless because the jobs that were identified are jobs where he can sit or stand. So that point is one that we feel goes against the appellant. Now, on the subjective complaints of pain, the district court judge said, and of course the district court judge's opinion is not binding, but the district court judge said, well, I should fall back. It's a two-step analysis. Does the person have a condition that could lead to this pain? And secondly, you know, is the pain allegations, are they credible? Here the district court said the judge stopped at the first step. And the administrative law judge. And actually, if you look at the administrative law judge's opinion at Joint Appendix 54, he describes the subjective allegations are inconsistent with the clinical findings reported by the doctors. So that is first step. But even if you say, the most you can say is that the judge collapsed both the first and second steps. Even if you were to say that, any error would be harmless. It is uncontested in Joint Appendix 288. His own treating physician says that he only had moderate pain. If the court has no other questions, that concludes my argument.
What do you think the essential restriction is? When you're not looking at the testimony, he can stand for 2 hours a day?
The medical expert said that continuously he could sit for 2 hours, continuously he could stand for 1 hour.
Right.
And
stand 2 hours total per day in a six-hour day?
Yes, you would. If you do it as 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, you would get 2 hours standing altogether.
So the question is, let me make sure I understand what your answer to this. Mm-hmm. That's essentially, we're all on board on that. That's the restriction. That's essentially what we're talking about. This person can stand for a maximum 2 hours a day.
Well,
a six-hour day.
I think you have to add one thing to that, Your Honor, and that is, the work has a sit-stand option. The bench jobs, as the vocational expert said, he has the option of sitting and standing and walking around if needed. So
that means that he can't be made to stand for more than 2 hours in a day, but if he wants to stand to relieve himself, he can. Is that what
you're
saying?
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor.
All right, so that's the basic restriction. So now let me make sure I understand, how is it that you join up what the ALJ's understanding of that restriction is with a presentation of it to the vocational expert and the vocational expert's response within that framework? Where is that happening? I didn't understand what you were talking about, so I understand what the hypothetical question is, and then you just went to the next issue.
Well, the hypothetical question does reference Dr. Fernandez's testimony, which was brief, and which included the statement of the 2 hours sitting, 1 hour standing. But it also includes, the question also includes the sit-stand option. And the vocational expert.
I don't know how that's material. All I'm trying to understand is to make sure that this record reflects, and you're not answering the question.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know that the vocational expert was responding to what we all agree were the limitations?
Well, we could look, Your Honor, at the, I agree that the hypothetical does not include the line by the medical expert that the limitation that he would go with would be two sitting, one standing. But we also have to remember, one, the vocational expert had heard that testimony, and two, all of the jobs that he identified were jobs where you have the sit-stand option. So it's clear that he is not, he's not accepting this. You have to be that he stands for 6 hours, which is what the appellant says, that he can sit and stand. Depending on what he feels like.
Is the heart of what you're saying that when we look at what was recommended, the appellant has failed to indicate that what the vocational expert proposed is outside the limitations? In other words, everything is within the physical limitations. Is that what you're saying?
I'm certainly saying that, yes.
So whatever confusion there is in the record, the bottom line you're saying is that we can look and see, and the vocational expert didn't propose anything that is outside the limitation.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So you're saying what error there might be in this confused direction is harmless, is what you're arguing?
That is our argument.
I was missing it.
I'm sorry. All right. If there are no further questions, I'll sit down.
Your Honors, I think if we all look at this hypothetical question that's really the heart of the issue here.
Well, you can't ride that horse but so far.
No, I understand that.
You ought to get off it and go somewhere else.
Okay, all right.
Because the bottom line is, what ultimately happened is because the vocational expert was apparently there, heard the testimony, and no one seems to dispute that there's no greater requirement than 2 hours standing. So that isn't in dispute. The only question is whether the vocational expert was responding to that. And what is it that you're showing to suggest that he didn't? You can't get away with saying, well, he might have been confused, when in fact we know what he recommended.
Well, Your Honor, if my point was that the hypothetical question itself, we're referencing Dr. Fernandez, his testimony. And then we go in and we start to list the things that Dr. Fernandez said. Environmental restrictions and these things. These are things that are specifically on the functional capacity form.
The bottom line is it's 2 hours standing, right?
No. The functional capacity form said six.
No. You feel it's 2 hours standing max, right?
Oh, that's because that's what the RFC is. Exactly.
If you can keep getting up and sitting down as much as you like at your option.
Right.
I don't understand what the six, incidentally, is cumulative. The two is in a row.
Okay.
So you're mixing apples and oranges.
But if
you can get up or sit down, why doesn't it fit squarely within the medical testimony?
So two reasons for that. One is the testimony is that he could sit or stand or walk around as needed. Now, let's think about that for a second. You walk around as needed, as you need it, not as the job requires, but as you want to, and you're in a bench occupation. You're a bench assembler.
Yeah, with an option of sitting and standing, right?
And walking as needed is what the vocational expert said. And if you can get up and walk around whenever you want in an occupation, okay, not only are you going to be leaving your workstation, you're also taking that job out of any sedentary realm and making it light, because that's the definition of light work. Walking, standing or walking 6 hours in an 8-hour day. So what ultimately occurs here is,
I don't know about these jobs. I only know what I read in the record. He's describing the jobs. He's saying these are jobs where you have the option, sitting, standing, walking.
Yes.
Right?
Correct. But here's the question. Does a sedentary job, allow you to get up and walk around whenever you feel like it?
These jobs, the jobs that the vocational expert is talking about, are jobs that allow all of this, according to him. He may be lying, absolutely. I don't know. But that's what he says. Anything.
But all these jobs are light. He identifies them all as light. When you limit the person to standing for two, you're now limited to sedentary work.
The question is whether whatever he listed, I don't care what you characterize it as, call them blue jobs, whether there's anything in the record to indicate they're inconsistent with what we know the appellant could do. And I think not. At least you haven't pointed to anything. I don't care what you characterize them as. You have to hit the bottom line. The bottom line is this within the realm of work that he can do, given his medical limitations? And you have said nothing to indicate that it's outside of his limitations. You're playing with words.
Well, the problem, Your Honor, is this. The administrative law judge rejected the claimant's testimony of what his limitations were. He rejected...
Which he can do.
Certainly. Right. Rejected portions of the state agency physician's opinion. Rejected, apparently, Dr. Fernandez's explanations, because he only included the standing and
He alluded to all of the doctor's testimony, which had been witnessed by the vocational expert. I don't understand it. The language that you quote from the hypothetical question doesn't seem to restrict it. I mean, that you might be objectionable on that ground, but it sort of encompasses everything the doctor said, but it doesn't exclude anything.
But when you go back to the residual functional capacity assessment, none of those things are included. Those are what the findings of what the claimant's restrictions are.
What job has he proposed is outside the limits of what you think the appellant can do?
All of them. because the...
I don't see it in your brief or in the record.
The reason for that is...
I don't see how you get there.
Because ruling 8310 says the primary difference between a sedentary and a light job is the ability, is the requirement of the sitting and standing. Okay?
It's not required. It just says he has the option to get up and down. That's for his benefit. That's a good thing.
I'm
not saying that in order to perform this job, you have to get up.
No, I understand that. But you can't do bench occupations and get up and walk around whenever you want.
That's what the vocational expert said. He may be completely wrong, but you haven't challenged that aspect at all.
Obviously, I understand that there was no cross-examination testimony of the vocational expert, so I can't. In order for me to go after that, I have to go outside the record, and obviously I can't do that. So that's a little bit of a struggle for me. My whole point, though, and I understand where you're coming from, Judge, but my whole point is if the person is truly limited to sedentary work and everything they've identified for the person is light, then they can't rely on that testimony. Anything further?